I'm Mark Bayshore. Today, the $100 million plus purchasers of the erotic romance novel 50 Shades of Grey can see the movie adaptation of the story by E.L. James. Actors Dakota Johnson and Jamie Dornan star as a couple whose relationship is focused on pushing sexual boundaries.
I don't do romance. My tastes are very singular. You wouldn't understand.
The controversial story led to some interesting research at Michigan State University. Dr. Amy Benami is a professor in MSU's Department of Human Development and Family Studies. She explores domestic violence and abusive relationships. She decided to study the connection between the novel and its readers and claims her research shows 50 Shades of Grey perpetuates violence against women. I asked her how she arrived at that conclusion.
Well, we use national definitions of domestic violence from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and we systematically analyzed abuse patterns in the book. And what we saw was basically very consistent patterns of abuse represented in the book as we would see in real-world domestic abuse relationships.
Does your research suggest that reading the book leads to involvement in some undesirable behavior? I mean, is there any degree of cause and effect happening here?
No. So we did not do a study of causality. So our first study really analyzed abuse patterns themselves in the book. And a second study involved surveying women about their readership of the book as well as their exposure to health risks. But neither of the studies looked at causality, like as 50 Shades causes these particular behaviors.
Well, let's address the 800-pound gorilla here. Is the adventurous sex that's in the novel relevant to your study?
So what we found in the study was that basically abuse patterns they mimic what we see in real-world abuse relationships. So Kristen uses an interlocking pattern of abuse to control every aspect of Anastasia's behavior, including stalking her, intimidating her, isolating her from family and friends, and minimizing the abuse he inflicts. And another disturbing pattern is that he also perpetrates sexual violence toward her.
You commented that the erotic content in 50 Shades of Grey could have been accomplished without the theme of abuse, which is so thought-provoking because it when it comes to sexual behavior, some number of consenting adults choose to engage in what other consenting adults might consider abuse or may appear to be abuse. Is that relevant to your work here, or am I linking two things that shouldn't be linked?
So there's nothing inherently wrong with BDSM or bondage discipline, sadism, and masochism practices, as long as the individuals involved are consenting. So they've consented to participating in the activities. And the second component of that is that they mutually agree upon the activities to be engaged in. And so in BDSM relationships, if there's heavy use of alcohol and drugs, that's a signal that consent has been violated in those relationships. And certainly we see that in the relationship between Kristen and Anastasia in 50 Shades of Grey. There's a lot of alcohol used as well as intimidation and pressure, which is very different than what we see in a classic BDSM relationship.
And Anastasia suffers reactions that are consistent with those of abused women, at least according to the standards of the CDC. Is that it?
Yeah, because of the stalking and intimidation, the social isolation, the minimization of the abuse, Anastasia does suffer reactions typical of abused women. And that would include she constantly feels a sense of threat. She engages in stressful managing to keep peace in the relationship. And over time, she loses her identity.
Now, you also found behaviors that readers of the book are more likely to exhibit than non-readers. I think this was the second part of your study that you alluded to just a minute ago. What were those behaviors?
So we found that women who read 50 Shades were at increased risk compared to non-readers of having a verbally abusive partner, of having a partner who showed stalking tendencies, so following them, unwanted calls and text messages, also more likely to show signs of disordered eating and binge drinking, and having a high number of sexual partners in their lifetime.
Were you surprised by any of these findings?
We weren't surprised because these are all factors that we know are associated with violence in relationships in general. So we deliberately selected factors that have been shown in the empirical literature in the past to be associated linked with violence victimization. So
Do you understand why women who have been in abusive relationships might be more likely to read 50 Shades of Grey?
So our study was not able to determine what we call causality or temporality. So we don't know whether women who read 50 Shades already had these health risks or whether they had the health risks after reading 50 Shades of Grey. Because we did a cross-sectional study, so really we're talking about associations and correlations rather than 50 Shades cause these behaviors.
Amy Benami is an MSU professor in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies. We're talking about her work involving the novel 50 Shades of Grey. The movie opens today. Generally, do you think that seeing the movie might be linked to the same behaviors that the book was associated with?
Well, we can't really we would need to do a separate study to determine that. I think that would definitely be something of interest for scientific inquiry. We are bringing 40 Michigan State undergraduates to the movie theaters this weekend, and we will be having discussions with them after the film to ask them about their perceptions of the relationship depicted in the film, what they thought was healthy, what they thought was dangerous. So that should be a very interesting study. Mm.
Are you inclined to think that books or movies are more likely to be associated with these behaviors?
Well, it's a great question. So really, we have to look at both together. So films, television shows, fiction, music, all of those things create an underlying contextual environment that shapes our ideas and potentially behaviors. So they really sort of work together.
Who do you hope your research ultimately reaches? Who exactly stands most to benefit from what you have found out here?
Well, we hope our research will most benefit young people, and that includes both girls and boys, really starting in grade school, talking with young girls and boys about what healthy relationships are, what healthy sexuality is, what healthy sexual expression is, love, etc., because we know it's important to talk about these patterns early on to sort of shape how people think about them into the future.
Do you think that young adult men who read the book may also become associated with all kinds of destructive patterns then?
Well, we would need to do a separate study with men to determine that. We do know from the empirical literature that men who are exposed to pornography are much more likely than men who are not exposed to pornography to hold attitudes that support violence against women. And those studies have come primarily out of Europe.
Your studies have generated a lot of interest, almost 13,000 downloads of your study from its publication in the Journal of Women's Health. Generally, what are you hearing from other researchers and other people in academia? Is there a pattern to the responses that you're getting?
We're hearing a lot of support from researchers and practitioners in the field really thanking us and being grateful for raising awareness about this critical problem as depicted in 50 Shades of Grey, which, if we look closely at the book again, it is a glaring glamorization of violence against women and really perpetuates societal norms that supports violence against women. So we've heard a lot of support for thank you for doing these studies. This is going to help open a societal conversation that we've needed to have for a long time.
What about the wider non-academic public? Do you hear from them?
We do hear from them. So we hear a lot of support for the studies, and we've also heard from the public, some more that they feel that Anastasia did love Christians. So how could we be saying that there was abuse in the book?
Why do you think this book became so popular in the first place, given the problems that your research links with it?
Well, it's interesting because you're absolutely right. Women in particular are flocking to read this book. What's very interesting is in our survey of young women, of those who read the book, only 36% said they liked the book. So it's not, I don't think it's necessarily that women are loving this book based on the percentages that we identified in our study.
Did you view this book as research from the beginning or soon after you learned about it? I'm curious if you can now evaluate the book in any other way than as a subject for a study. Can you view this novel as entertainment, or is it tied so closely to what you study that you can't?
Well, from the perspective of the research that we've done, it's hard to view it as entertainment, especially because of the gross underlying abuse patterns that exist in the relationship. It's really hard to see anything else beyond that.
We want to thank Amy Benami of the Michigan State University Department of Human Development and Family Studies. We've been talking about her work involving the novel 50 Shades of Grey. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.